Blog Talk Radio.
Places, travel all over the world, but there's nothing as precious as time with my girl. We've been through some things, some good and some bad, but there's nothing as precious than the time we had. Being together is a great thing. I wouldn't change nothing. I wouldn't change a thing.
And the life moving.
Nothing like grooving together.
Ain't nothing
when
like grooving
together. Oh, there's nothing
grooving
like grooving
together.
Now it took us some time finally getting right, but I'm here to tell you, friend, good love doesn't come overnight. But we finally found a smooth place for both of us to lay our love. And I want to thank God for shining light down from above. And we finally got our groove right. We finally got our groove right.
And we're grooving together.
Oh, that feels good.
Just me and my baby.
Baby. But listen, I know we've been through some things. Some of them I'm so ashamed. But baby, your love always amazing thing. Through thick and through the thin, you stay with me to the end. And now we got our love thing growing. We're dancing in harmony. Oh, baby. Without you, I know there is no me. I got your love, I got your love. And it feels so good when we're grooving together. Oh, baby. We're grooving together. Oh, baby, I like the way it come together. How that we've been together. It's
ain't
like a sweet love song with a melody just right. That's who we are, baby. Just grooving together. Just grooving together.
All right, everyone, we are grooving together here on air on Let's Jazz It Up, Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, Brenda Moss, that's me, and thank you for tuning in, everyone. You can call on the show at 657-383-0771. And I welcome my guest, Mr. Arthur Rowland. Hello, Mr. Rowland. Are you with me this evening?
I am here. Good afternoon. And followers I had talked to.
Yes, we are grooving. Yeah, Happy New Year to you. we are grooving together.
We are. We are. That's what it's all about, grooving together.
That's right. I love that cut. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Mr. Rowland. I know you've been in the music industry for over 30 years. Let's set back time a little bit and give some of our listeners to catch up on you. And how'd you get started in the music industry growing up as a kid?
Well, I'm a child prodigy of music since the age of 4. And, you know, I came from a family of musicians and singers. My sisters and I were touring and singing professionally at an early age, 5 to 6 years old. So we were out on the road doing that from the time we were able to actually write and speak. With my father as our manager, so we spent a lot of time traveling around the country and tutoring and singing and more school and more singing. So we did that for a lot of years. It seems to be a way of life for us.
Wow. The church you grew up in was Mount Vernon Baptist? And y'all,
Mount Vernon Baptist
some of
church.
the old Negro spirituals back in those days.
Well, I grew up in a small town, you know, population, I don't know, maybe 250, 300 people. We didn't even have a traffic light. So the church was pretty much the center point for everybody close in the area would come together. Most of it was all the time pretty much family. So mostly everybody in the family sang. I think you could probably give a microphone to anybody in the church. Most of them were family, and they all could sing. So, you know, just listening to music in the church and when we were singing, it was like one big choir. Everybody knew parts and everybody sung, so it was a beautiful sound. And you know, I came up in a time pre modern churches. Of course, we moved into all of that later, but I came up in the old wood floor, kind of the old church, you know.
Yeah.
So that is what I was raised in, and you know, now the same church is modern and has all the modern amenities, but. During the time that I grew up, it was a kind of a transition period, so I got to see the best of both worlds.
Right. And so you started playing the guitar one night?
I started playing guitar. Well, as I said, my sisters and I were touring and singing, and we started out doing an a cappella kind of thing, and then we kind of transitioned to having a full accompaniment with the band and stuff, but seemed to always have a problem finding musicians and keeping musicians. So my dad had bought all of us instruments to learn to play, and, you know, he was so intent on me learning to play guitar. So it was kind of a pressure taking lessons, taking piano lessons, learning classical music. You know, it wasn't cool as a young man to be taking piano lessons and playing classical music. You know, that was kind of the joke of all my friends around me. So I kind of pushed away from that for a minute. But one night I had a dream. You know, like in often that we have dreams, we do things that are supernatural, things that we don't normally do.
Yeah.
I had a dream that one night we were performing on stage and we had the band and I was playing guitar. And, you know, all the things that I could do in a dream when I awake, I was still able to do them. Which, you know, at that point in time, you don't really think a lot about it. It's just, you know, you don't realize the how profound that is until later on in life. But I woke up playing like I had been playing all the time.
Right. What music group inspired you? Is there any other music groups back in those times that inspired you? Any gospel artists or R&B artists?
Yeah, I grew up in a time where we were pretty much some of the younger people on the road at that time traveling around. I think there was probably one other group maybe that was out with us that was very popular. It was a group called the True Fans. They were touring at that time and singing. We were artists like that. But it wasn't a whole lot of young family groups performing and singing on the road. But there were a lot of people that, some of the staples of gospel music that had been on a long time and set the standards for music. You know, people like the Caravans and Shirley Caesar and James Cleaver. All of these people were in their, you know, in their latter days. But they set the standard and showed you how to be a professional and how to perform and how to do what you did, because you watched them every night do what they do.
And, yeah.
So these were artists that I watched, you know, people like James Cleveland or Walter Hawkins or Andre Crouch or people like that. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you know, there were so many showmen doing things like people like Earth, Wind & Fire who were big, and the shows and the performances, everything they did on stage was, you know, Parliament Funkadelic and George Clinton. You know, they had all of the costumes. So they showed you how to really entertain an audience with props and, you know, to make a whole theatrical thing out of it. So those were some of the artists that I learned from at that time.
Right. Yes. So what do you think how the music industry is now, as far as how the music is flowing now? I know you stick with your music genre and your flow of how old school music used to be back in the day, and you still have that rhythm, that groove, that old groove, that old R&B groove. So how do you feel about how music is doing today?
Well, I do that purposely. I could very well change with the times and do what's popular. The thing about that is that when I came about, the music of the time wasn't very popular, you know, because it was a change from what people knew as the norm. I mean, when Andre Crouch came out singing songs like "Oh Happy Day," that was like sacrilegious to a lot of people, you know. Today is standard. Today is standard, you know, compared to.
Yeah.
When people like Kirk Franklin have pushed it to another level. And then they're going to come people after Kirk Franklin, they're going to push it to even another level. So what Kirk Franklin is doing now to this generation is, you know, it's kind of taboo or whatever. So I've learned that, I mean, I don't have to understand it to understand that it is a generation. I just, what I really am really a stickler about is lyrics. I don't really care how they present the music to the audience, because you got to meet people where they are, and you got to be able to reach them on and relate to them on their level. But when you do reach them on whatever level it is, tell them something in the song. Don't just make it fluff and pompous songs, you know, because every song today is about, you know, just nothing. There's no substance to a song. So, I mean, a lot of music now, if you ask me what I think about the music, a lot of music is like that. You know, it's pretty much about, I mean, if you listen to rap music, most of the kids rapping about what they see. You know, they're rapping about what they see in their block where they live. They don't, I mean, everything is in a 20 block radius. That's what they can rap about. The car, the girl, the clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't take the time to really educate themselves on social issues or politics or anything like that. When they ask me, you know, I say, why is it that people like Tupac Shakur or Biggie Smalls, why the music is still relevant? It's because they went outside of that box. They talked about politics. They talked about social issues. And that music, it transcends from just our people's music to music of the world, because they were speaking on things that everybody could relate to. So
right, everybody,
So when we take our music and we think about the lyrical contents of it, and we try to reach people and masses, then I'm okay with any of that music. I mean, you know, to a lot of people, my music is controversial. It's either one way, too much that way, or too much that way. But I don't try to make genre music. I try to make what I've coined as soul-spirational music. It's not gospel. It's not R&B. It's not, you know, soul music. It's soul-spirational. It's music with soul that inspires people. And not a lot of people that are doing that. I want my music to be able to perform in the masses. If I'm on a show with Earth, Wind & Fire, if I'm on a show with Kirk Franklin or Yolanda Adams, I still want the music to be able to have a message for the people. It's not about the music or the sound. It's about the lyrical content. So that's what I focus on a whole lot. I'm more mindful of that these days than I used to be.
Yeah. That would have been my next question. What was your ultimate desire? What you want people to get in your music? So you already pretty much answered that.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I want. I want my music to be able to reach the masses. I don't want to be put in a corner. I don't want to do music that just fits synagogues or the churches. Or I want my music to fit the masses of people. I can go out and inspire people. You know, a lot of artists have got it right these days. You know, because I can go to Anthony Hamilton concert or you know, my friends like Fantasia, and in the middle of their show, you find yourself in the middle of church, you know?
Yeah.
Then they go right back to where they were spotted from. So you get a little bit of everything in the show, and that's what I really focus on. Some of us have gotten it right. So I think that's where we're going, because I've noticed in music, as long as I've been in there, about every 15 years or so, everything kind of repeats itself. So when you get your finger on the pulse of what's going on, you could pretty much predict what's going to be next.
Yeah.
And right now I'm feeling like the music of the Motown, the music of the Philadelphia sound, Gamble and Huff kind of sound, the thing is kind of coming back around. That's why, you know, I did songs like Grooving Together and, you know, those types of songs, because I want to take them back to that, everybody from Hal Melvin kind of sound, you know.
Yeah, it's feel-good music. Puts you in that comfort that you can loosen up and be who you want to be and be inspired at the same time. And
mm-hmm.
you can be yourself. You ain't got to put on a
heavy. It ain't got a lot of bad news.
So I'm getting ready to play one of your song tracks. This new one that you got that y'all got out now. You and your new duo group, correct?
Oh yeah, me and my posse. These are the guys on tour with me.
Talk a little bit about that. How you and them guys got together, and how'd y'all get this together going?
They actually came to me, wanting to produce the other music, same kind of music that I was talking about. And they were already artists doing their thing individually. And I had heard of us shows, and you know, we kind of had to click on the same idea of what we wanted music, direction we wanted music to go in. And then we started to talk about, you know, all the things that we've seen that were positive things. Like we watched The Kings of Comedy, and we saw how a bunch of very smart brothers came together in a business venture and started doing what they do. And you know, they sold out arenas all over the world. And so we wanted to do the same thing with music. So we decided to put something together called The King's Soul and start doing a tour. But we want to keep music authentic that people could sit and enjoy, and it could take them down memory lane of music. It would be anything that would be too edgy for them, that could bring the kids. It would be a family atmosphere kind of thing. So we decided to do that, and it's been received really well. So that's how The King's Soul started. And, you know, they commissioned me to produce song for them that would, you know, they told me the type of music they like, and we all agreed that, you know, we like that old Backstabbers, Wake Up Everybody, Hal Mary and Blue Note, that whole Philadelphia Motown sound that was really popular in the 70s and 80s. So I wanted to kind of reproduce it. But the thing about music is, as a producer and as a writer, if you don't know the past, and if you don't have appreciation for where music has come from, then you can't make up music. So you have to really be a student of music, and that's one thing I've always done. I was a student of the great producers, the Gamble and Huffs, the Barry Gordy's, and the Isaac Hayes, the Curtis Mayfield. So were great producers. So these are people that I studied for a long time, and I listened to their music to find out what it was about their music that kept them so relevant, even at this time.
Right. So tell the audience and I about this song, Clap Your Hands. How did y'all come up with the title of that song?
Clap Your Hands was basically, we were sitting around talking about how men got so macho that, you know, they go to the club and they hear good songs. They don't want to dance. They want to stand on a wall.
Yeah.
So, you know, the women enjoying themselves, but the guys are standing on the wall. So we want to make something that's okay. If they don't do anything else, leave, clap your hands. You know? So the party thing is to let people know that you joined the party to clap your hands. So we just wanted to create a song that was saying, you know, give the guys permission to to interact. So okay, they're not gonna dance, but they will clap your hand. So clap your hand is one of those songs where, you know, if you're feeling good and you're enjoying what you hear and if you're feeling the groove, then just clap your hand. That's a signification that you're enjoying where you are and which is what's going on. Versus
right.
Standing on the wall like a sore thumb.
Yeah, I hate that. I really hate that. You know, and
we gotta be too cool.
Well, I am so glad you came out with this song, and I love the melody, I love the lyrics. I'm gonna spin this jam. Stay tuned, sit in your seat. Anybody wants to call the show and speak to Mr. Rowland, you know my guest line number is 657-383-0771. Let's clap our hands with this groove right now. Here we go. Sites are you on for them to follow you on? Can you give that information right now?
Yeah. You can reach me at Arthur Rowland. ArthurRowland, Arthur Rowland at Twitter, Arthur Rowland at Instagram, Arthur Rowland at arthurrowland.net is my website. So if you put in Arthur Roland, just Google Arthur Roland, A-R-T-H-U-R-R-O-L-A-N-D, you can pretty much reach me. And my music, yeah, you can find it on all the sites, Google Play, iTunes, Netflix is on there. It's on iHeartRadio. I have an iHeartRadio station. Sirius Radio, you can request it there. Pretty much anywhere that you listen to music, you know, you can pretty much find the music.
Right, right. Well, there you have it, everyone. And feel free to call on the show at 657-383-0771. This is Les Jazz It Up with your host with the most, Brenda Moss. Author, you've been in the music industry well over 30 years. What is your secret to longevity and success in the industry?
You know what? That's funny. That's funny, and I knew it was coming because at the end of the day, there's no secret. And I've been fortunate because if it was up to me, a lot of times I probably would have already quit. This is not a kind business for you. It's not one of those businesses that's always going to be glamorous. In fact, it's probably more so 80% non-glamorous than it is 20% glamorous. But it's one of those things that where once you realize and you start to really understand and commit to yourself that this is what you were called to do and this is what you do and this is all you want to do, then, you know, you just stick with it. You know, because some of us have realized that this is all we know how to do, and this is all we want to do, and you know, we're gonna either succeed at it or die trying. And I'm here to tell you, I probably died a few times trying, but you know, at the end of the day, I've been lucky. But I think that probably the secret, if there is a secret, is to be true to who you are. Because there's so many other people that will try to get you to go in different directions and do what they think should be successful for you, the direction they think you should go in. And it's hard because you see other people that are successful in the direction they're going in. So you oftentimes want to jump ship and go and do what they're doing. But my whole thing about it is that I just realized that, you know, nobody can do what I do the way I do it. And whether it's like everybody else does or not, it doesn't really matter to me. I stick with what I know, and I guess the trick of it is, if you ask me what to tell people, is that anybody can follow a trend, but it takes a real leader to make a trend and make other people follow it. So that is the truest way I know to be successful, because, you know, kids, they're influenced by what they see other people wear around them, how they dress, how they act, how they talk, how they wear their hair. But it takes a special kind of kid to just say, okay, I'm going to be this person, and I'm going to wear my hair this way. I know nobody else does it. Nobody wears the clothes like this.
Right.
And then to get other people to follow you, you know, because anybody can be a follower, but it takes a special person to be a leader.
Right. Wow. That makes so much sense. I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. You've been in the music industry for over 30 years, and I know you have received a handful of awards. Now, I've seen all the pictures, and you're over at Academia Awards. Can you count how many you got right now? I know your house is full of them.
Well, I mean, I've got you know, a few accolades, you know, that have come. And I always say that, for a long time in life, you go looking for things, they don't come. And when I stopped looking for them, they started to come. I didn't really look for anything. I didn't look for academias. I didn't look for Grammys. I didn't look for, you know, gold and platinum albums. But they came on their own. And I just went about making great music, and all those things came. So for me, when they came, it's always like very surreal. Just like, you know, a few years back when I was inducted to the Gospel Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
And people were actually reading off the things that I had done. And they were I'm sitting there listening. I'm going like, you know, it's kind of like, it's surreal to you because you're going like, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I really did that.
Yeah,
but I wasn't
thinking.
I really wasn't thinking about it when I did. I was just in the moment of what I was doing, you know. It was just like you just going through the motions. But you didn't know that the actual heaviness that it had, a demerit that it had when you were doing it at the time. You were just doing what you know how to do. And then, but the kind of crazy thing for me was like when I was hearing all this and I was reading all this stuff, I started to feel like, okay, am I on my last? I'm on the way out? Because, you know, when you hear people saying all these things about you, you kind of feel like, okay, does that mean I'm done? I'm on the way out. But, no, I just realized that I still got a lot to do. But it's always appreciative, particularly when you get awards of the Grammy status or the, you know, academia, because those are voted on by people that are your peers that do exactly what you do. That has a special appreciation for me, because when people in my industry can recognize me for excellence in what we all do, that's the highest form of flattery for me.
Right. So you have to constantly reinvent yourself, right, in order to keep your fans and followers interested in your type of music, right?
Yeah, it's constant reinvent yourself. You know, if you don't really keep your ear to the street, if you don't listen to and be accepted to what's happening in the now, you know, you're bound to be passed and forgotten. I don't really want to compromise too much, but I think there's a lot of original and old in the new. They don't realize it. They think everything they're doing is new. You know, they think they just start up it. But you know, there's a lot of what we did in the new music. So, you know, the part that we can relate to, we teach them how to do it correctly, but we also embrace the new spins that they're bringing to the music. So by infusing yourself around young producers and people that are, you know, that are in touch with what's going on with the music now, I like to always just collaborate with them and you know, get their input on what I do. So it's a good mixture. It keeps the music fresh, you know, because if you just think that everything you do is just what it's all about and nobody else is really doing anything, you know, probably going to fail in this business.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break from the talking and let's play some music. Tell me about this song, Hokey Pokey 2.
Oh, Lord,
I like that song.
I bet you do. Let me tell you about that song.
Yes.
Let me tell you about that song. That song has been a nightmare for me because I wrote this song as a joke. For my manager, he was like, we were talking one day, and we were just talking about, you know, he has a saying for everything, you know, and he comes up with these slogans for everything because he's a country boy from Alabama, and so he just, you know, he was saying some things he did. So, you know, I was putting my left foot in my right foot. I met this girl and I was doing a hokey pokey, and I was like, what are you talking about? And so I just made it the song, and I was singing it around it. And he said, you know what? You need to record this song. And I was like, are you crazy? I said, be my luck. And this is the exact words I said. I said, be my luck. I'll write this song. And it'll become a hit, and people start listening to it. And, Lord, and that's exactly where it came out. And I said, Lord, I never want to be known as the Hokey Pokey Man. But everywhere I go, people go, you the Hokey Pokey Man. Yeah, I guess I'm him.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Then,
oh, he's
the
Hokey Pokey Man, huh?
He's the Hokey Pokey Man. I know.
Just
yeah, that's
a song.
People, right, it's just a song, and you know, I kind of liken it to, I liken it to a time when I used to listen to artists like Clarence Carter, you know,
yeah,
Mr. Joe
Gidd,
and those songs. So those were fun songs at that time. You know, we knew the underlying content of what they were talking about. So I just figured it was time to come back with something like that. You know, to be suggested, but, you know, but in a tasteful way. So those were my effort at that. But Lord knows I never thought that I would be getting labeled Hokey Pokey. But here is what it is.
Well, I love it. I love it, okay? All right, everybody, stay tuned. Here is the Hokey Pokey 2. All right.
I was in this club the other night, just sitting at the bar, minding my own business, when this fine young thing came up to me and she said, baby, I've been watching you all night long. And she said, I just got one question I want to ask you. Can I hokey pokey with you? And I said, hokey pokey like in, put your right foot in, take your right foot out, left foot in, take it out, kind of hokey pokey. That's what you're talking about? She said, yeah, baby. But I got another kind of hokey pokey I want to do with you. I said, say what? She said, listen, baby. Here's what I want you to do.
Put that good thing in.
Huh?
Take that good thing out.
All right, then.
Put the good thing in.
What?
Let's shake it all about. Doing the hokey pokey.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn me on.
What?
Boy, I'm about to turn you out.
You gonna do what?
Turn you out.
She said, baby, I'm about to turn you out. I said, is that what you're talking about? I'm showing up going
turn you out.
She said, listen, why don't we just leave this club and we can go over to my house? You see, ain't nobody there, and it's just as quiet as a mouse. And oh baby, I can teach you how to do the hokey pokey. Do the hokey pokey with me. Do the hokey pokey with me. Well, I said, all right, girl. That sounds like a whole lot of fun. All the time I was praying, Lord, I hope I don't have to run. Now she said, baby, there's a few rules to the hokey pokey before we can start. But you don't need to worry about them, because my rules are not very hard. If you sit right back, and baby, I'll tell you all I want you to do.
Say what?
Oh, baby, tonight, it's just gonna be me and you. And I started to get all excited. My toes started tingling. I didn't know what she was about to do. But from the look in her eyes, Lord, I knew this girl's about to teach me something new. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. She said, now I'm going to get on my knees, and I want you to take it out. And I said, girl, what in the world are you talking about? She said, don't play with me, baby. Because these are my rules to the hokey pokey. And if you want to play the hokey pokey with me. And I said, well, all right then, baby. Let's get this thing started. Lord have mercy. Yeah. She said, now I'm going to open up so you can put it in my mouth. And I said, shut the front door. Is that the hokey pokey you talking about? And she said, yeah, baby. I want you to lay back and let me take my time. And then the lights went out. And all night long, all you could hear was me crying. I was crying because I found out the hokey pokey wasn't nothing to play with when a girl really got it on her mind.
Put that good thing in, take that good thing out. Put that good thing in and shake it all about.
All right, that is a Hokey Pokey by the Kings of Soul with Arthur Rowland. Wow, Mr. Rowland, I like that. Oh, wow. So, are you still with me here?
I'm still here.
All right. So, I would like to ask you, do you have any upcoming events or performances in your city there, or are you traveling?
I'm traveling quite a bit. I'm getting ready to come out west a little bit, to Dallas, Houston, LA area, stopping a few stops in Oklahoma and Phoenix, Arizona, but right around Valentine's, I'll be doing probably the only performance I do here in my city in Atlanta. So I'll be doing an evening of with me, what I call an intimate evening with Arthur. It's going to be here in the city of Atlanta. And for those that follow me on the site, they'll be able to see when it's going to be and the place it's going to be and how to get tickets and things. So for those that are listening, hopefully everybody will come.
Okay. Can you give your website information and where everyone – yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, like I said, they can catch me at arthurroland.net. That's www.arthurroland.net. Or just put in arthurroland.net, it'll pull it up. Or just go to my Facebook page, Facebook at Arthur Roland or Arthur Robert Roland, Facebook. And the Kings of Soul page is there as well. It's my fan page on my Arthur Roland page. You can go to the Kings of Soul. And, you'll see, be able to see the events and see what's going on and see where I'll be and when I'll be in your city or close to your city.
All right. So, were there any other music instruments that you played other than the guitar? I know you mentioned that you did play the piano as a child. Was there any other instruments?
Yeah, well, I learned to pretty much teach myself to play anything. Even if I can't play it, I can fool you enough to think I play it. I had to teach myself to pretty much play anything. And on my projects, I play everything. I do all the instruments on the project, from the drums to keyboards to guitars. Do all the vocals, everything on it. So it was just one of those things that where you, when you got tired of trying to find people to do things for you, you just kind of taught yourself how to do everything. So if it was musical and it had notes on it, I pretty much picked it up and learned to play it. Banjos, mandolins, saxophones, trumpets. I started to dabble with a little bit of everything. I mean, this day of digital age where, you could pretty much create any kind of sound you want with a keyboard. Once I learned the whole premise of the instrument, I just started dabbling more into it. So, yeah, I pretty much play, I'm an expert at a lot of instruments, but the master of none. I just try a little bit of everything. I never say I can't play anything, but I'll learn to play enough to fool people.
Right. So your church, Mount Vernon Baptist, have you ever returned back there and participated in the choir or the band?
You know, the funny thing about that is that my grandparents lived on about 800 acres, and all the family lives around. My grandmother's house is at the top of the hill. It's called Honey Hill, and all of the kids live around. Property has acres, and I've got property there. And I go and visit. My father lives there. My sisters live there. I go and visit. And I have to pass by the church, because it's right at the bottom of the hill. And we used to walk to the church on Sundays. But I go by there all the time. I go by the church, and, I haven't had a chance because of my schedule to get back to the church in a lot of years. But I always keep up with what's going on there,
Yeah, okay. All right. So have you done any community events for charitable organizations in your community? Any organizations, nonprofit organizations?
I use my platform for a lot of things. I like to, one of my passions is social injustice, and I speak out on, a lot of injustice, human or otherwise. I was definitely involved with the whole Black Lives Matter thing. I was actually living in St. Louis during the whole Trayvon Martin thing, and so I was there in the middle of that, and Michael Brown, the whole situation for that. I worked with artists like Jamie Foxx in the march on things like that, and lent my voice to that. But also in St. Louis, I was a chair on an organization called Urban Future, and all we did on Urban Future, we took underprivileged kids out of project homes that had any kind of musical inclination. And we just mentor them and had them come into the studio and be able to just work on their music, and had a lot of celebrity people come in and encourage them and kind of hone their skills to kind of give them some other avenue to go to besides selling drugs on the street. But we found that it made so many kids much better in school and got on a lot more focus. So The Urban Future in St. Louis, Missouri, is headed by a guy by the name of Jeff Van Brie. And I've been chairing and been a part of that for a lot of years. So that's one of the biggest foundations that I work with.
Wow. So can you mention the website information?
For Urban Future? Urban,
yes.
It's urbanfuture.net, www.urbanfuture.net. And you can put /St. Louis. Missouri, and it'll pull up your information. If you go to YouTube or anything like that and just put in my name and Urban Future, it'll pull up. I do a whole advertisement about Urban Future and what we're doing and talk to some of the kids and some of the founders of it. It's all on the video there, so check it out on YouTube.
All right. Oh, so let's talk about YouTube. Do you have any new more videos that in the making from any of this new music
that
you got?
The new video for the official video for Clap Your Hands, we've done that. It's shot. It's out. They catch it on D-More. They can catch it on YouTube. The making of the videos that people, you know, into the video site. Clap Your Hands is already out. We did it. It's a great video. It came out. I'm actually working right now on the new video for Hokey Pokey, which is going to be an amazing. It's going to be an amazing video. It's going to feature a younger version of me.
Okay, yeah.
And it's going to be my namesake, and he looks just like me. He has my same name, so he'll be my son playing me as a younger generation. So we're working on that right now. The whole concept. So it's going to be a real cool video.
Right. Well, you are more welcome to give a shout out to all your supporters that help you on your musical journey here, Arthur.
Yeah. Just want to say, make people understand that it takes a lot of people. It takes it's like raising a child. It takes a village in music. We can do it by itself. It's an engine of people. My family over at Any Music Makers, my family over at Sony Music, Sony Archer, Sir Dominique Mitchell. My new family, and we're doing some great things with Sony. Also at D.I. Garrett, Independent Gospel Radio Alliance, and that is where we set up an organization to just try to help independent artists, give them the same platform and equal playing grounds as the major radio record companies and radio stations for. And that's set up and dedicated definitely to independent artists that are trying to get their music to the world. So that's growing by leaps and bounds. We're up to, over 400 members now, and that's growing well. So check out, Agarra, A-G-A-R-R-A, and that's Independent Gospel Radio Alliance. And, if you're aspiring artists and you're trying to get your music out there, that's what we do. We deliver your music to radios, to all the digital outlets, and, we get you interviews and get the world to know who you are and introduce the world to your music. So that's a cool concept that we're passionate about that we're doing right now.
All right. Thank you. And would you like to give any words of wisdom, any advice to any of those that wants to get into the music industry as you? Any advice you want to give?
Yeah, don't. On a real, I would say, when that's a calling on your life, it's unmistakable. There's some people that want to do it for all the wrong reasons. They choose it and seek it out because of their own famous or whatever. Use it if that's your reason for doing it. You never ever last, But if it's that thing in you that that's all you think about, you wake up thinking about it, and it occupies your mind and your heart most of the time. Everything you hear, everything you see is a song, and it's just in you and it's got to come out. Then that's what you need to be doing. Don't give up on that. Seek it. It's going to be a hard life, but stay with it because everybody's not given that gift. But those that are given that gift are ones entrusted that they're able to carry it out. So if that is what you feel and that is what you live and that's what you breathe, then stay in it. It's not going to be an easy thing, but, there are a lot of people out there that can help you. Choose the right people.
That's right. And thank you for that advice. I'm going to play the last song before the show ends. If anything else you want to mention, you can go ahead and speak now. The last song I'm going to play is called Long Night. Can you give me a little story behind that one?
Long Night is a song that actually, the song was written for Anthony Hamilton, wrote it for Anthony Hamilton. And we couldn't come to, he loved the song. Heard him sing it, amazing, just like I thought it would sound, him sing it. We just couldn't come to any kind of agreement, you know, on the business aspect as far as his publishing and people like that. So I decided to put his song out because I thought it was a great song. It's kind of one of those songs I was talking about that's kind of one of those soul inspirational songs. It talks about a lot of things. It has that soulful feel, kind of throwback. You hear some samples of some other stuff, old stuff back in there. But I decided to do this song, and that was a young gentleman that's on a Gara label named Earl White, who's an awesome singer. So I just got Earl to come in, and I decided I was going to do it. I said, Earl, you know, I want you to do the song with me. And so I had him to sing on the song with me, and we decided we were just going to put it out because we thought it was a good song and just see what it does. And it's you know, it's just come out, and so you're probably one of the first people to debut it. So it'll hopefully it'll do well.
I like it. I like it. And I want to say thank you for coming on my show. Thank you for your participation. You know you're always welcome to come on my show. Any new projects?
There's going to be a lot of new projects coming. Let's see. I've got some stuff that we're working on now that I'm trying to get to town tomorrow. We are debuting Shawn Reed Price, and if that name sounds familiar, if you know Kelly Price, it's her sister. And you think Kelly can sing? Kelly has got anything compared to her sister. Her sister is ridiculously good. But Kelly and I are supposed to be making. Yeah, Kelly and I are making a surprise appearance tomorrow on her album release debut. She's doing this thing in Georgia tomorrow, so I'm trying to get back. I got to make it up to Nashville and get back for that tomorrow. But that's one of the artists that you can look for. Her name is Shawn Reed Price. She's got an awesome album coming. There's a lot more artists. I mean, independent artists are the new major now. So for those that, you know, that follow music industry, I mean, if those that listened to the Grammys last year, and I'm getting ready to go there, most of the artists that won top honors last year were independent artists.
Yeah.
So they're getting their place and putting in the music industry, and people are taking notice to it. So just look for a lot of these artists to be coming this year with some amazing projects. There's going to be a lot of things that not only in gospel, but in secondly, there's going to be a lot of artists that people have never heard of. They're going to be awesome artists. And I'm just glad that I've had just a little piece of their career and producing or doing something with them. Yeah.
And thank you for that information. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Thank you. Well, Arthur, look for me when you get your projects through. I'll be following you for life, and I love your music. I love you.
Thank you, sweetie.
You have a blessed evening, and thank you for your participation. And keep in touch.
Thank you, and I'll take this to your listening audience. You have an awesome, awesome show. For those that are listening, tell a friend. You know, invite a friend to listen to, because it's a wealth of not only great music, but a wealth of information that you bring to the community. And that's something that we all need. So tell them to support, you know, Jazz.
Yes.
It's a great show.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that, Arthur. And thank you, everyone, for your support, for listening to Let's Jazz It Up. I'm your host with the most, Brenda Moss. Stay tuned. I have other guests coming on my show throughout this month of January 2018, everyone. It's going to be a blast. I have a female soulful R&B artist coming on my show tomorrow evening. Her name is Shamika Sinclair. She is a very soulful R&B singing songwriter artist. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And I want to thank you all for listening. This time I will be playing a last hit called Long Night with Arthur Roland. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is Brenda Moss signing out.
Some days I feel defeated, feel like giving up on my dreams. Yeah, yeah. I'm on a fast train,
on a road to hell,
and nothing going right. Struggle. It makes me feel like I
feel like I'm on the way.
And that weight, it feels so heavy
that I carry from day to day.
But it's gonna be alright.
Gonna
be alright.
Gonna have a long night.
Gonna have a good night in heaven. Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait.
But it's gonna be alright,
'cause
I'm gonna have a long night in heaven.
Lord, help me find my way. Yeah. 'Cause I feel like I'm losing this battle.
More and more each day,
while everyone around me
seems to prosper.
More and more, and every time I turn around,
life closes another door.
But it's gonna be alright, 'cause I'm gonna have a long night in heaven. But it's gonna be alright, 'cause I'm gonna have a long night in heaven. Now it's been a long, hard fight. I can't give.